Father Zacharias, I actually have a lot of questions, but the first one was just a thought I had about how, since we live in this modern world in America with evangelicals, evangelical Protestants, and there's so much emphasis on conversion and usually an emotional conversion. So I'm wondering how this could differ from your idea of a visitation of grace, the first visitation of grace. And also, do we Orthodox, do we emphasize enough the idea that our people need this visitation of grace? Or have we sometimes forgotten? Or perhaps we go immediately to the sacraments and we're talking about the sacraments, but we don't emphasize the visitation of grace.
Well, some of our recent saints, Saint Seraphim and Saint Siloam, they keep telling us that the purpose of life is the acquisition of the Holy Spirit, the acquisition of grace. And the only science that we have to learn continuously is how to acquire grace. About the conversion, I think the whole of the scriptures, both the old and the new, is that we are called to return to God, to convert our hearts and to return to God. And this conversion is not like the Protestants think, that is something that happens once and is secured forever. It's a dynamic one. It is something which is sustained. It has to be sustained. We are not saved neither by some intellectual faith or by some conversion that took place once, and therefore we are always saved for always, nor by works. We are sustained by a living sensation of God in our bodies, in our hearts. If we keep that sensation, that's why the old scripture says, "What is man?" And the answer in the Proverbs, what is man? A heart with a divine and noetic sensation. That is to say, a man who bears in his heart the traces of God's energy, of God's presence, the effects of the grace, that is to say. We mustn't be afraid to use terms which the Protestants use. I mean, you know, when they say they are evangelicals, we are more evangelicals than they are. But they emphasize only that aspect. There is a wholeness of life in our church and an unbroken tradition since the time of Christ that no other church can claim. I learned this from the Anglican priests who visit the monastery. They come and often they say, "Oh, you Orthodox, you are the only ones who have kept an unbroken tradition." They put this idea in my mind. I realize that we have it and we don't realize it. For us, it's a granted thing, it's a given thing. But in fact, it is true. If you examine a little the history of the church, its theology, its liturgical life, the spirit of asceticism in the church, there is an unbroken tradition throughout the centuries which you cannot find in any other church, especially in the West. But we don't like to speak like that to them. We always try to speak humbly and recognize every good element they have in their life, but trying to point out some other things which they lack. We must speak in such a way as to make them feel honored. And then they will come to a sense of honor to listen to what we say.
Father, I want to ask you what Father Sofroni taught about the redemption of people. In the scripture, in the gospel, Jesus says that the gate is very narrow, and few people find their way through. to salvation. And when we think of creation and God's eternal purpose to love and save man, how did Father Sofroni put that together? Are most lost or most saved? What?
Yes. Well, if I tell you what he thinks, it might lead you to despair, like it leads me to despair. He says that to live as a Christian is impossible. We can only die as Christians. That's why St. Paul, he says, he dies daily in order to be able to keep Christ in him alive and even magnified. He also has some very hard sayings, Father Sofroni. He quotes the words of St. Siloam when he says that if we have not come to hate ourselves, we are yet far from the spirit of salvation. And it's better that we keep quiet, he says. But, you know, this is true. But nevertheless, that's how it is. One cannot live as a Christian. One can die as a Christian. But that's what we try up to our last breath, to keep the commandments, to have a little dose of that dying in our life by fulfilling the commandments. St. Peter says in his epistle that the judgment of God begins from the house of God. And if the righteous is hardly saved, where can the sinner stand, he says. What is the judgment of God? The judgment of God is the judgment we saw in the person of his Son, who delivered himself to death for our salvation, to prove his love to the end for man and for God as well. By doing this, he justified God and man. He justified God, showing his infinite love for man. He justified man by showing to God an example how man should be. And in doing this double justification, God cannot be blamed forever, remains blessed forever. And also, if man imitates the example of Christ, he is received as the son and heir of God. So, the judgment of God is what we saw in the person of his Son. And if we are the house of God, if we also are the house of God, we will not escape that judgment of God. That is to say, we'll go through some fiery temptations, as the same Holy Apostle says. And when you go through those fiery temptations, he says, it's not in order to perish, but in order that the spirit of glory of God reposes in us. So, I'll say something more encouraging. Of course, the perfect gift of God is to imitate the life of his Son, the judgment that occurred in the life of his Son. But each one of us, even if we receive from God a small gift, if we use that little gift wisely, that will keep us attached to the body of Christ, the church, and attached to the head of the body, which is Christ, and therefore make us partakers of the gifts. Of course, first of the life of the head of the body, which is Christ, but partakers of the gifts of the strong members of the body of Christ, who are the saints. So we may have a small gift, but if we keep it, and if we protect it, we'll be made faithful about much. If we keep that which is little, preciously, God will give us that which is much. It will make us, through our small gift, enter into the communion with the great gifts of the strong members of the body and the communion of the saints. That's why everything we do in our life, we should add the portion of love. When we do something, we should do it adding a little portion of love. When we speak about something or about someone, we should add a little portion of love. Speak well. Our words should be generous, even more than our fellow is worth of. If we think of something or of someone, we should remember to add a little portion of love. And if in everything we do, in everything we say, in everything we think, we add a little portion of love, then slowly, slowly we'll inherit the great portion of the love that flowed from the cross and resurrection of Christ. That is what is meant, I think, by the Lord Queen. He says that he who is faithful in little, he will be made faithful over much.
Did Father Sofroni teach about the fate of Buddhists and Hindus and the millions and billions who have no noticeable allegiance to Christ?
He lived it in his skin, Father Sofroni. For 7-8 years, he was practicing those Eastern religions. And that's why when he repented, his repentance was inconsolable. He understood that that was committing suicide on the plane of eternity by following those things. And he wrote about these things. His books are full of that. Because he found the absolute eternity in the personal God, in Christ, in him who said, I am that I am. I am the being. Yes. So, even in the most noble aspect of those things, they're only a little part of the truth. Yes. Buddha is admired because he found ways to teach people how to disengage from suffering. But is that great in view of what we have received in Christ, who turned death into life, who showed us a way how through suffering we can show the perfection of divine love? So for us, the way is not just to avoid suffering, but through suffering to overcome death and embrace eternity.
Father, you mentioned how important spiritual direction is for those, especially in this early phase of the coming of grace. And you mentioned a few of the dangers. Would you say a little more about maybe advice to all of us in the spiritual care of those under our direction?
Yes. When people come to us and they're in that state, not to treat them psychologically, not to try and console them psychologically and reduce that tension, rather to give them understanding and increase even that tension, but with understanding and protect them. I remember someone who was in that tension and he had a very strong sense of the futility and vanity of this world, and saw death in everything. He would look at a tree and immediately conceive the tree withering, falling down to the ground. So he saw behind everything the threat of death, which is ready to devastate everything, to swallow up everything. And this person had that very strong sense of the memory of death, which is very precious for someone if he then at that moment turns to God. Because that memory is very precious because it will detach him from everything earthly, from every attachment in this world. And if he's correctly directed, then we'll attach him to the Spirit of God and make him one spirit with the Lord. And I remember once someone who came, and he was in that tension, and he visited one spiritual father, that person, who tried by all means psychologically to extinguish that tension. And Father Sofroni was so upset, and he did something he would never do. He told him, find another spiritual father. which he was very respectful, Father Sofronio, of all spiritual fathers. He would never undermine the authority of any spiritual father. But in that case, he realized that for that person would be a complete distraction if he continued visiting that priest who was trying to quench every tension and every... He didn't even convince that person, because being in that tension, he didn't want to stop it. Simply he wanted ways how to go about it. It's like when the Lord was on the cross, the Jews were telling him, come down and we'll believe. But if he came down, death will not be destroyed. And it was at that moment that death was being destroyed and the currents of life were flowing into humanity when he was dying on the cross. So we mustn't blunt or diminish the tension, but we must explain to the people and understand, and tell them that it is a blessing from God, but we must be careful not to break in that period and not to go beyond our strength, because there is a danger to break. And if a spiritual person breaks down, it's very difficult to repair, very difficult to mend. That's why we must be good stewards of our strength, and we need help at that moment.
Forgive me, I'm just curious now then, would you deem it wise to instruct those who are preparing for illumination what to expect, or just deal with it after it happens with them and direct them?
To instruct them beforehand. Yes, one way of doing that is to help them be acquainted with the scriptures, with the word of God, because the word of God is always given to us for our consolation and for our edification. If the words of God are richly dwelling in our hearts, then it will help us during that period to control our mind and all our senses, because the word of God will be dominant in our life and will contribute to our regeneration. That's one way. It helps a lot to read the scriptures. It helps a lot to encourage the people not to forget these lessons which God is giving them. Many times God has made miracles in our life and helped us through difficult circumstances. Those were lessons we must not forget. And if we remember them humbly, then they rekindle in us gratitude and inspiration. And also to protect them by indicating to them to avoid certain things in order to keep the grace, and then the grace will labor for them and make their way easy. As we said, to avoid judging others, to avoid the pride even in the secret depths of their heart if possible, and that will help them to maintain grace for as long as possible. But to indicate to them also that it is a blessing from God, it is a treasure for which one must be humble and give thanks continuously to God. It's a rich period, it's a rich moment. Sorry.